Hey, Mark.
Yes, Keisha, how are you doing?
All right, I'm doing great. So welcome to Simplicity Podcast for tonight. And thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you for the invite. My appreciation.
I'm glad that you're a part of the show for tonight. And how was your day?
It was a good day. It was a good day. Been out, getting out to see some people. So yeah, it's definitely a good day.
Awesome. So I'm going to welcome you right now. So Mr. Mark Dyson, District Sales Coordinator with your company is iFlat. All right. So we're going to just jump right into this already right now. We already recording with my podcast, which is Simplicity Podcast. So again, thank you for being a part of the podcast. And also, I'm excited because you got some great information that's for our community and for us to learn something tonight here on our show. Okay?
Yes, yes.
Right. Yeah. So go ahead and introduce yourself. What do you do with iFlat?
So iFlat, yes, I've been with iFlat for about 11 years. It's a district sales coordinator. Just basically, we do supplemental benefits. And just for clarification, yes, I do iFlat, but being an independent agent, I work with other companies as well. So right now I'm branching out to a larger company, so we'll be able to bring in products from Transamerica and other companies, things of that nature. But main thing is about supplementary benefits. That's what iFlat is all about. So I've been working with them for a while, and it's just been a great opportunity to, because we always want to get out there and try to help people, and how can we help folks? And a lot of times it's just about education, because a lot of times we have no idea what's out there can actually help us. Give a better idea how supplemental benefits work in a situation where I have health insurance. I have major medical health insurance in place. Maybe I have Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I have iFlat programs in place. And, you know, I'm out there on the highways, wherever the case may be, and I'm in a car accident, ambulance ride, emergency visit, things of that nature. The difference is with major medical health insurance, they're going to cut you a check for all whatever's going on, and it goes to your doctor and hospital to cover your medical bills. Well, you'll get the check for the exact same things with iFlat. That check ends up in your mailbox. It's your money, do whatever you need to do with it. It's triggered from medical procedures like anything else. So in a situation I need to use it for co-pays and deductibles, I can, but you also can use that money for your rent, mortgage, bills, putting food on the table, wherever the case may be.
Oh, that's great. So it's just not short-term and long-term disability.
Exactly right. It's cash paid directly to policyholders. A lot of times people get confused. Everybody sees the duck commercials, get a good laugh at those duck commercials. But basically, iFlat's going to pay for the same type of benefits you do for your major medical health insurance. But they just don't send that money to your doctor and hospital. That money goes directly to policyholders, help them out with everyday expenses and things of that nature.
Got you. Okay. So one thing I wanted to bring up was my last episode was regarding a person I had on here that was talking about he had went through colon cancer.
Yes.
And how he didn't have insurance, and he went through the hospital and he was blessed to get the insurance and get the surgery and everything that he needed. So I want you to cover some things that we talked about, you were talking about tonight, cancer care, and then go into life insurance. What do you have to share with my audience with the cancer care?
Yeah, that was a pretty compelling story from your gentleman you had in there. I listened to his story, and sadly enough, I hear a lot of those type of stories. People going through things and situation with cancer. Same thing happened in my very own family. I know I lost my mother to cancer, grandmother to cancer, so I know about this cancer stuff. So the bottom line is we have a cancer program out there. And this cancer program, when you're dealing with cancer, it's a long process. Initial diagnosis, the treatment, to recovery. So these plans itself, they have money coming in to help you out all aspects of that. Let's give you an idea. One of the gentlemen came aboard of my team probably about 8 years ago, and I'll share his story because something we talk about when we go out and see our clients and things of that nature. Came aboard with us in August of 2010. Decided, you know, he's gonna get his cancer program, have it in place. A couple months later, decided he's gonna get his cancer screen. You get a $75 cancer screening benefit. So a lot of people just go out there, want to make sure they get that cancer screening, get their extra $75. Well, he goes and gets his cancer screen and found out he actually has lymphoma. Right. So over the next 18 months, this cancer program is actually pays him out over $34,000 over these 18 months for his cancer treatments and things of that nature. And we're talking about a single father, two teenage kids. That money goes a long way to help things out. Okay. Now we move 2-3 years later. After that, he's 100% cancer free. Everything's great. But then we go back and look at it, you know, where would he be at if he wasn't going to get that cancer screening? You know, getting yourself checked out for those things goes a long way to help it out for treatment and recovery.
Absolutely.
Yes, yes. And I think about the same thing with my mother. She was going through these cancer treatments, things of that nature. How could one of these plans have helped her out those years ago? You know, because so many times we don't realize things that are out there that can help us out. There are a bunch of products out there, especially through supplemental benefits. It doesn't have to be Aflac, but just ask questions. There's things out there that can help you. I'd be happy to always help folks out with finding the right products for them. I don't care if it's through me or somebody else. Just making sure you're helping people out whatever way you can. And right. I know you mentioned life insurance. Wow.
And yes. Tell us about that, because that's important, because that's been a big part of my life in the last, within the last 10 years of losing my dad.
Oh, yes.
And then I lost like a best friend that can't, suicide.
Wow.
Lost somebody in my life that was very close to me. And sometimes in our community, we don't think that these extra benefits that we can sign up for now. I know when I was in my 20s, I'll be 45 in 3 weeks. I know in my 20s, when somebody came to my job talking about any type of insurance, whether it was Aflac or whoever, I was like, oh, I'm going to live forever. I'm in my 20s. I don't care.
So true. I hear that.
But now, as I'm getting older, we need it, you know? And that's why I'm so glad you're a part of the show tonight, because it's so much information in our community that we miss, that we feel like we don't need, but we actually do until it's the last moment. And it's like, what do we do? But if we're educated, if we know what's happening, we know what's going on, we're better prepared. So go ahead and share about the life insurance.
You're absolutely right about that life insurance. You know, so many times in our community, we'll spend plenty of money and time and sit down and plan our vacation year after year. But we'll never stop and think about life insurance. Once I was talking about my mother, that she was in, you know, she's in the hospital dealing with cancer. Now, I'm the youngest, I have 3 older brothers. So we're together talking. I was like, you know, does mom have life insurance? She was like, yes, you know, mom has life insurance, which is great. But, you know, so many times it's a hard conversation to have. So we never sat down and went over all this information. A number of months later, when my mom passed, we going through paperwork, I realized, okay, she did have life insurance. But she had purchased it over 30 some years ago. This life insurance plan was only worth $5,000 at this point. So now what are we doing? We're all digging in our bank accounts, trying to come up with this money to provide for services and things of that nature. So one of the key things when I sit down with folks is to please have those conversations with your family members. Make sure you have stuff in place. And so often people say, well, yeah, I have life insurance. I've had for the past 10, 15 years. Like, okay, what do you have? Oh, I don't know. I just got some stuff. And so often they're usually getting a term life insurance plan, which is fine. It's a lot cheaper. You got a lot more bang for your buck. But the problem with term life insurance is it's only good for a designated amount of years, 10, 20, 30 years. After that time's up, you no longer have any life insurance. You have to get something new at your age at that point, which can be a little bit more costly. So take the time to review what you have. If you don't have anything, please make sure you get something in place. And just for clarification, sometimes people have a little confusion between whole life insurance and term life insurance. Basically, like I said, term is for a designated amount of years. Whole life insurance is going to last your whole life. And like ours, like most of them, after 3 years, it starts building cash value that eventually you can borrow off of. So somebody has a $50,000 life insurance plan. 10, 15 years down the road, they want to take some money out. They want to go on vacation for a while, or they have a... you need a new roof on the home, whatever the case may be, you can pull some of that money out, but of course you need to pay it back or it's going to deduct from your total benefit amount.
But got you. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Different options to go in there, but just make sure you have something in place. And so often you can get something small, $20,000 of life insurance, have something in place, and you're good. Something's better than nothing.
Got you.
I think
something's better than nothing. I agree with you there.
And I think we had mentioned that before. We talked about so many people like to rely on GoFundMe pages and things of that nature. It's mm-hmm. always good for some folks to help you out and you have a good cause and things of that nature. But it was interesting because we were discussing a little bit what we want to talk about today. And over this past weekend, one of these weekly programs over the weekend was discussing this. And they were saying that 90% of folks that try the GoFundMe page never raise enough money for the procedures they need to get done. 90%. I just don't want people to try to rely on that as their insurance. There's other things out there can help you. Just get educated out there, ask some questions. Always feel free to reach out. We make sure we get something in place to help you out in those situations.
Got you. So let's go back for a minute. So you have no insurance, you know, and then people have to rely on to GoFundMe. Because GoFundMe was never in place for years. It was just, I feel like it's been a part of our whole social media platform.
Right.
You know, it's another option of getting the help we need for ourselves with insurance or coverage when we get ill or sick or when our loved ones pass away. And yeah, it's great that people are generous and they have a heart and they want to give money. But then you have a situation too where it's people that are doing GoFundMes and doing all this extra stuff because you don't have an insurance or any coverage and taking advantage of people that have a really good heart. So if you have no insurance, then what? Then what? You know, because years ago right. We didn't have GoFundMe. Now what?
Absolutely. And so with no insurance, like I say, the supplemental benefits is not major medical health insurance. But once again, it can help you out in a lot of those situations. From accident programs, hospitalization, it has maternity coverage, pays for birth of child, pay up to $2,500 when somebody's having kids. Dental, vision. There's a critical care plan. Critical care, heart disease, stroke, hypertension, third-degree burns, renal failure, those type of things. So that's the more specified plans, which are critical care and cancer programs. When we talked about dental, we're the actual number two dental provider in the country behind Delta Dental. You know, we passed Aetna a few years ago. So dental plans are out there. But somebody that has no insurance in place, supplemental can help you out. Because usually there's two reasons why people won't go to the doctor. I can't afford to miss a day at work. I can't afford the doctor's bill, right? Have something in place like these supplemental benefits. They can put cash in your hand. Maybe you'll go and get yourself checked out when you have that pain in the side now and get it checked out instead of waiting 2 or 3 weeks and up in the emergency room, okay? And some of the gentlemen you had on a couple of weeks ago was talking about it. He was concerned about not having insurance. He was concerned about having his procedure done and things of that nature. And I always believe that your mental state of mind goes a long way with your physical state. If I'm in the hospital trying to recover and I'm concerned about how I'm going to pay my gas and electric and how all these other bills are going to get paid, it's really hard to concentrate on my physical therapy, whatever the case is, to get myself better and get up out of the hospital. So,
right, especially when you're real sick and you don't feel well. Yeah. You know, I know if I don't feel well, I don't want to talk about nothing. You know, but you're right. You know, when you're not in the right state of health, you can't focus on those things when stuff is really happening at that moment, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So your company and what you offer is benefits outside of that short or long term, but also health insurance for whatever your needs are as an individual. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not your major medical health insurance, but it's something else supplemental. One of the things that happened with the Affordable Care Act, insurance companies cannot deny people coverage because of pre-existing conditions. And we know right now that our government is trying to get rid of a lot of those provisions and things of that nature. But right now, it's still in effect. So the insurance companies are paying for procedures for a whole lot of people that couldn't afford to get them in the past. So all this stuff that needed to be done, right, they couldn't get this stuff done. But now with this Affordable Care Act, I can get these procedures done. I can get this stuff taken care of. Well, the insurance companies, they're not going to just eat the cost. So what they're doing is they're passing this back on to the business owners who are paying for most of these healthcare benefits. So if I was a business owner, if we go back to the early 90s, as a business owner, I could expect health insurance rate increases anywhere 8, 10, maybe 12% rate increases. Today, 20, 30, and I even have some accounts over 40% rate increase on their health insurance. And as a business owner, nobody budgets in a 30 or 40% rate increase into their budget. It just doesn't happen. So as a business owner, what can I do to save money? So that's why I'm forcing for so many people out there, they're seeing their deductible skyrocket. There's accounts out there that the family deductible is over $5,000, even up to $7,000 as a deductible. And just to explain what the deductible is, if people don't understand, it's just that deductible is what you have to pay first before the insurance company pays anything.
Right.
I've been spending thousands of dollars on healthcare coverage throughout the entire year. Now it's time for me to use it. Now I come up with the first $7,000 before my insurance company kicks in. I'm in a
pretty bad spot. Right.
I'm in a bad spot with that $7,000. Even after that, the insurance company is usually going to pay about 70% of your bills. You're still responsible for 30, or maybe depends on the plan, maybe 80-20%. But you always have money coming out of your pocket. With supplemental benefits, it can help ease that. So the best way to save money on these plans is, if I go to a high deductible plans, my monthly premiums are going to be lower. Have lower monthly premiums, have an Aflac plan in place or supplemental benefits in place, it can help offset that deductible when it's time to pay that out.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense. So I'm with you with that, because I've seen that before. I've seen people that have had their regular health insurance, and then, or maybe not had insurance, health insurance, and then, you know, everyday people are struggling to just pay for care, right? And just pay for their monthly insurance.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden, something comes up, and then they're not covered.
Right. And something
they don't have the coverage, so. Mm-hmm.
And something else has been coming up that it's a lot of conversation because the elections are coming up. And we can talk about Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren talking about Medicare for all. And I'm not sure how much people understand how that works, or it doesn't look like it's going to happen. But Medicare for all is basically the government funding healthcare. No co-pays, no deductibles. 100% funded by the government. And the whole idea is that with one entity paying for these bills, they can negotiate better rates with the hospitals and things of that nature. You're never out of market. Ooh. You're out of network for procedures and things of that nature. Because one of the things that happens a lot, and it was in that show that I was talking about over the weekend, lady actually burst appendix. Mm-hmm. Needed to go to the hospital. She had her friend drive her across town, not the nearest hospital, across town to a hospital that's in her network. Mm-hmm. Only because she goes to the emergency room, the doctor that did the procedure on her wasn't in her network. So she still ended up with a $3,000 bill, even though she took that chance of driving further away before she was being seen.
What?
Yeah.
Mm.
Very.
Mm. And was she in her own state?
Yes, she was in her own state.
In her own state, so she's in network.
Correct.
Right? At that point?
Because you're in your state don't mean you're in your network. Because there's different...
Oh, okay. It depends on the physician, right?
Well, it depends on the healthcare institute. Because you have, like in Maryland, we have LifeBridge. We have John Hopkins Hospital. So we do different health systems. So sometimes different ones are in your network. So that should be something we have to be conscious of. If I'm ill, I'm injured, I need emergency treatment, I should be able to get that. I shouldn't have to worry about driving across town to a certain hospital, to a certain facility to be seen to save a little money.
Right. And see, when I think of in-network or out-of-network, I'm working for a urology practice for about 10 years, and our patients were calling and stuff like that. I'm thinking, if I'm out of state, I'm out of network. But you're right. It doesn't matter. It depends on the physician and the facility.
Correct.
On what they accept and do not accept. Yeah. As far as for payment and coverage, where a patient or individual would have to pay out of pocket, almost self-pay.
Exactly.
You know, when you're paying for insurance every month and you got to pay self-pay for something that you just didn't understand. Or something that wasn't, you know, wasn't presented to you up front. So, yeah, okay.
Not to jump around, but I do want to hit on something about life insurance. And it can be
confection.
With life insurance, there's two schools of thought. There's some folks that, you know what, I just want enough life insurance for burial services and things of that nature. There's other folks that think, you know what, I like to make sure I leave money for my kids and things of that nature so they can get ahead. And insurance is a great way to make that happen, because, you know, in our community, we have to run twice as fast to keep up with some other folks at sometimes. So having life insurance in place, leaving family members $50,000, $80,000, maybe they can use that money towards their education or get buying their first house or leaving that mortgage payment off of them, or reducing that mortgage payment. It's a very good way to help out our next generation, generations ahead.
Okay. Gotcha. You know, what's the difficulty like in this business and what you see? And I want to just say, touch on our community, because I just know, and I'll be honest, being a young person, I'm not a young person no more, but in my 20s, when these conversations was coming up in my 20s, it wasn't important. So right now, what could you stress to the young people that what you're doing, and you're making these changes and a change maker in our community? Excuse me.
Yes.
What could you do to say, this is something that I need you guys to pay attention to? You know, don't wait till you're in your 40s to try to get some things straight. Do it now. What could you say to a young person that's my children's age?
Well, that's a good point. And, you know, dealing with all types of accounts and policyholders of all types, some of the interesting things are, some of the young folks we speak with, they get it. And more often than not, it comes from their parents. Parents have sat them down, talked about money, talked about finances. We're about to get into something talking about finances, but they've had those discussions. Another thing is, a lot of ones that have played a lot of sports, they've been on team activities, sports and things of that nature. They've seen it. They've seen their family members, friends, teammates being injured and things of that nature. So they understand the importance of maybe having an action plan in place, having short-term stability in place. For young folks, you just have to understand that, yes, you're young, but things still happen. We're all not going to live forever. Right. You know, things do happen. And it's good just to be prepared. And when you're young, looking at life insurance and other things, it's never cheaper than it is than you are today. So if somebody that's 25 years old, no, you don't need $100,000 of life insurance. But if you get $25,000 in life insurance, it's going to be that same rate for the rest of your life. So when you hit your 50s and 60s, you'll still be paying the rate of that 25-year-old.
Okay. Got you. Okay.
So it's a great thing to get in there. And helping out a lot of these young folks, like, it's not just about selling them products. It's making sure they understand what's out there available for them, what's their options. And I just like to help people whatever way I can. And I remember this one young lady and her and her husband, and you know, wanted to get some life insurance for her and the kids four years ago. We're still in contact with one another today, talking about business, different books that's come up. You know, I read this good book. I think you'd be interested in it. And it's like to be a resource for folks as well. It's not just, hey, I'm going to sell you insurance. I won't talk to you again until it's time for me to make more money. It's not about just making money. Right. Yes, it's the way I feed my family, but it's just about doing the right thing in the community, like you're saying. You can be a resource, pay it forward, help other folks out. You always get your blessings when you're helping other folks reach theirs.
I agree with that. Amen.
Yes.
You got the title of that book?
I have a number of books. I make sure I get them out there for you. There's a number of good books out there.
Let me give you two books.
If you're looking at taking control of your finances, saving money, and the biggest thing we can do is put our money to work for us. You know, we're always working for that dollar, but our dollar should be working for us. So there's two very good books to start off. The first one I always recommend is The Richest Man in Babylon. Okay.
Okay.
It's the same concept about what you should do with your money, but it looks at it in a completely different way. The Richest Man in Babylon. The second book is, a lot of people have heard about, and I had heard about it, to sit down and actually read it, is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Okay. Highly recommend those two books. And Rich Dad, Poor Dad, actually, the entire audiobook is on YouTube. It won't cost you a cent, but I just recommend reading The Richest Man in Babylon first.
Okay.
Yeah. So if somebody hasn't signed up for audiobooks, or one of those, like Walmart has their own audiobook service, your first one's free anyway. Get out there, pull up one of those books, and go ahead and do that.
So
I'm an audiobook person.
The one that you suggested, first, why?
Like I said, it talks about putting your money to work for you. So often we go to work We work really hard. We put in the extra hours. We're trying to make all this money. But us just working for money, we're not going to be wealthy. We just want to keep working for that dollar. Okay. Until we realize we need to put that dollar to work for us, our money should be like our employees. So every time we have that dollar, it needs to go to work for us. And it's going to make more money. And those kids' dollars are going to go to work for us as well. You know, whatever you want to do with your money, you got a dollar coming in, you're going to save 50%, 20% here, 30% there, whatever the case is. But you have to put your money back to work for you.
Gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha.
Yes.
I mean, that, you know what? I'm going to pull that out after this recording right on YouTube.
Please. And that's just a big thing. Another thing, since we're talking about finances, I realized something in my life later on that I wish somebody would have had those conversations with me. It's just about taking care of your credit score. Take care of your credit score. You know, when you let your credit score go, you don't realize how many thousands of dollars you're wasting paying increased finance rates and charges, interest rates, and things of that rate.
Right.
So pay attention to it. Get your credit reports. You can get them all three credit bureaus one time each year for free. Doesn't affect your credit.
Right.
Just know what's on there, because so much stuff that you can contest yourself, get it removed, things of that nature, and just slowly build
right.
up.
Right.
Get that score back up.
I agree with you. I'm going to tell you, before I bought my house, my credit was crap. I bought my house over 3 years ago, and my credit was crap. My credit wasn't always crap. In my 20s, it was good. Then when you have your family, your children go through life, and then the kind of fall off. Right, and then you go through a divorce, it kind of gets like, do we trust you? Do we not trust you? Because at that point, a divorce, you're on your own. You know, and I know before I bought my house 3 years ago, I had to get my credit straight. So some things that I pulled up my credit report, like you said, pull up your credit report. I pulled up all three, and there was some stuff on there that was like old. It was like things from my 20s. And again, I'll be 45 soon. So in 3 weeks, I'll be 45. So it was like 3 years ago, I was like, why this one here 42? You know, why is this one here 41? And I had to get that stuff straight. And there's a lot of things that we just don't know that's on there. And some stuff was on there from my divorce, from my ex-husband. It was like petty stuff. It was like a $30 bill, doctor's bill, whatever.
Yes.
But those things that go into collections, it affects us. So I pulled up my credit report and got those things settled and paid. And a lot of times, it doesn't take long. It took me like within 6 months to a year, probably less than that, to bring my credit score back to where I needed to be. And it was just about contacting those creditors, getting stuff paid. If you can't pay it, pay it in full. If you can't, settle, because that helps too, just to rectify those accounts. Even student loans. I went to college. Sure. And I got student loans that they're not gonna go nowhere.
Let me throw a key point in there real quick. Sorry.
Okay.
When you said settle, be careful in there, because sometimes you'll reach out to the creditor. Yeah. They'll settle that and take it off. But just because they sell it with them, they say, all right, you owe us $500, you pay us $350, we'll call it even. But you need to make sure that they're actually gonna take it off your credit report, report to the credit bureau.
Right.
Sometimes they'll leave it
once
they get their money. Okay.
Right. You're absolutely right about that.
Yes.
Absolutely right.
And these third-party collection companies. Talk to a tax professional, but my understanding is if I have debt with Verizon, I miss my bill and they sell it to a third party, I don't owe that third party anything. I didn't have a contract
with that
third party. So long as you don't acknowledge, so long as you don't acknowledge that debt with them, there's really anything they can do.
Right. And you know what? I just read about that a year ago, and that's on YouTube. I always tell people, I always tell my mom, she be wanting to know something, like, mom, just Google it. Google. My kids want to know something, they doing a research paper for school, Google. Because you're right. I learned that over a year ago, because my contract that I signed was with my original creditor. So if a third party tried to sell it, I didn't sign nothing with you. They decide to sell it.
Yes.
Right? And so a lot of stuff we just don't know. We don't educate ourselves on certain things. But I learned that over a year ago. It was like, you know, I had this account with such such, but they sold it. And they sell those accounts for $0 or for $1 or $5. And then all of a sudden, they telling you what you owe them when you never signed your contract with them. But
and
if
they're
you don't
very
know
aggressive.
Any better, and we're not, right. If you don't know any better and we're not educating ourselves, they got us. But
yes.
I had to learn that.
Yeah.
I had to learn
very,
it,
very aggressive. Now, for your credit score, there's companies out there you can pay so much money, they'll help take stuff off your credit report. Once again, there's two schools of thought. If you're somebody that really don't have the time, I don't want to be concerned with it, I don't have time to deal with it and keep up with it, maybe spending that money on these companies will help you out. But more stuff, anything that they do, you can do yourself. You can send those letters, contest stuff, get things removed. I had a tax lien that I had removed just by filing the paperwork, things of that nature. So there's a lot of things you can do. When I sat down in 2018, in February 2018, I was like, all right, I need to get my credit stuff together. Credit score was at 590. A year later, it was at, you know, 690. This year, another year later, it's at 780. So pay attention. And now when I go refinance my car that I bought last year, I'm like, how much money am I saving? It's just ridiculous how much. I'm just thinking about over the years how many thousands of dollars I wasted month after month, year after year, just because I wasn't paying attention to my credit score.
Credit score, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of times too, I'm so glad you brought that up tonight. And what a great evening I talk about all of this too, because I know that I was one of those people that wasn't paying attention to my credit score. Can't say it right. Credit score for a while until I decided I wanted to buy a house 3 years ago. And when I decided, okay, let me own something. Let me own a little piece of property.
Yes.
You know, and
yes,
all of a sudden I was like, okay, I have the income at that time, not now. I had the income at that time. Okay, great. But just because I got the income, that's not good enough. I need to show that I am good enough to, or good faith.
Responsible.
And I can
yes.
pay for, yeah, responsible for what I am asking for. If I'm asking for $108,000 loan, $200,000, $300,000 loan, I want them to be able to trust me. And so, and it's just not because you got the income, you actually have to show the history.
Right.
And show that you are in good faith of what you say you can do. Even if you got the money, that doesn't mean that you a person that pay your bills.
True.
You know?
Very
and,
true.
And things happen. Yeah, and things happen and stuff like that in our lives. And I get it, because this happened to me. Things have happened in my life where I couldn't pay certain things on time years ago. And it happens. But just being aware of our credit score and staying on top of that, like you say, is very important.
Yes.
You know, I hate that we all get judged on based on our credit score, but it's the same thing like in a relationship, you know. You put that time in and you might mess up.
Right.
You
yeah,
may not
we all go through it.
To what the other person agrees with or whatever, but you work through it. And creditors are like that too. They say, okay, we see right here what happened. Okay. They'll forgive and they'll get past it because they understand. But we do need to be aware of what's happening and with our credit report and with our scoring.
And
absolutely.
And what's interesting with that, how things change. When you have that low credit score, you out there searching for somebody's gonna give you a loan. I need to buy myself another car. I'm trying to get this done and get that. Once your credit score gets over a certain point, they come looking for you. Hey, you already pre-approved for this credit card. We can take care of this.
Right.
It's kind of funny how things switch pretty daggone fast when they're looking to make more money off of you.
Yeah. And especially after you buy a house, not even a car. Because a lot of people will be like, oh, I got a car and I bought this and I got this loan, but you're still in debt.
Right.
You know, and that's how I look at it. When I look at it, like my vehicle, I'm like, okay, I still got this debt. And I own my home, but technically I own the bank, so I really don't own my property.
My right. name is on it, but I still owe my bank. You know, so.
One of the good things that you said, though, you were saying that, you know, you decided to go ahead and purchase a home. And one of the things, like they talk about a rich dad, poor dad, you need to acquire assets. Acquire assets mm-hmm. instead of liabilities. Because once again, in our community, we want to keep up with the Joneses. I got to get me a new car. I got to get me a better car than so-and-so has. I got to do this and do that to my house. Well, acquire assets. Stuff is going to make you money. Don't want to buy, keep buying stuff that's going to depreciate and cost you money.
That's appreciate. If you don't, if you don't say that part again. Oh my God. Yes. Because I hate the fact that we focus more on our clothes and our shoes.
And, yes.
And I can't speak for everybody because not everybody thinks that way. But a lot of times, like, I'm going to have the best shoes, $500 a time, pair of shoes and pants, instead of investing that money into what's going to come back to me. Dumb shoes.
Right.
And the dumb stuff, even cars. Even, you know, years ago, we used to invest in TVs. Remember that in the 80s and 90s?
Yes.
We want to have the best TV. And a TV in the car was like, ain't nothing. You ain't get nothing back from all that, right? Not unless you had a great car. But now those cars that we feel like is great cars, they ain't great no more.
Exactly right.
One of them is trash.
One of those financial advisors out there, Dave Ramsey, one of the things he always says is, you know, you have to live like no one other to live like no one other. As in sometimes just being humble. You don't have to have that fancy car, fancy home and all that stuff. Get all your bills straight. Get all your stuff paid off. Get yourself out of debt. Then when you have all that money coming in and you're building your assets, then you can live like no other because you're ahead of
then
the game.
Then you can live like that. And yes. then you can leave a legacy for your kids or whomever.
Yes.
Because to me, it's like everything that I have right now at 45, I'm like, look, at this point, my focus is on my kids, is on my future. Not so right. much on me because I had my time.
Yeah.
So now, what am I leaving now? What do my young people in their 20s have to look forward to? Because I can sacrifice and go without.
Right.
I can mm-hmm. deal with whatever, but what do we give them? What type of hope do we give our young people? And that's why I hope that they're listening tonight, our young people listen tonight, even my 20-something-year-old children, you know, and because I feel like their generation is a little bit more focused than what my generation was focused on, because in the 80s or 90s for my time was everybody was getting married, everybody right. was trying to settle. But it was no focus on long term to like now when my children, like my son is 25 this year, he's okay. 30 in a couple of years.
Okay.
You know, and what information was given to me so many years ago to prepare him to be great in his 25s and 30 year old type of stuff, you know?
Well,
and
I hope you really think about that, and I hope other people do that as well, is that now is the time to talk to the kids 10, 12, 15, start talking about how money really works, because you know when we're kids, gotcha. Nobody taught us how money works. I'm a little bit older
right,
than you, you know,
right.
I'm in my, I just, you know, over 50, and I remember being young, you know, parents usually say, you know, get yourself a good job, save your money, buy yourself
yeah.
a house. Well, you know, as soon as I need a new roof, my car goes up, all my savings is gone and I'm broke again. So you're not building wealth. We're just staying above floats, just staying above average. So the wow. biggest thing we can do at our ages is teach the next generation, teach our kids how money really works. And I try right. to do the same thing with my nephews and nieces. Like, look, this is how things really work. And hopefully you'll do better than I did. Okay. Mm-hmm. Always want to pay it for it. This is how money works. This is what you can do. But they have, we catch them now, they'll be ahead of the game. If somebody had this conversation with me when I was 21, I had good jobs. You know, when I was young, I made more money than a lot of my friends. I was in management, you know, I was a store manager for this facility and things of that. I made pretty good money, but I didn't know what to do with my money. I was going out buying my brand new 88 Ford Thunderbird with the ground effect kits and the spoiler on it, my personalized tags and everything else. And that time I could have been buying my first house. instead of right now at 50, I'm thinking about, I need to buy another house, but I want to have a 30-year mortgage and I'm 80. So those type of things we need to consider. So the biggest thing for me, and I'm talking to you, is just let's pay it forward to the next generation, to these kids, and help educate them on how money works. So they'll be definitely two steps ahead.
Exactly. I love it. And like I said, too, I think about that with my children now. I'm like, man, if something happened to me today or tomorrow, you know, the information that you're talking about now, like in my 20s, like I said, I didn't think it was serious. I'm like, in my 20s with young people, because I got married when I was 20 years old.
Okay.
So, matter of fact, 21 years old, and was married for 13 years. And I didn't think none of that was important. I'm like, I'm going to be young forever. I don't need insurance. I don't need none of that stuff. What we going to need to talk about this for? And what you do.
Yes.
Because you got to think about your own children's life as we get older. You know, you don't want to leave them out here just empty-handed, not knowledgeable, not educated about what resources are available and how they can plan right now as a young person in their lives. So I'm so glad to have you on the show.
I'm grateful today. Thank you for having me.
thank you for being part of it.
Oh, you know, I'm always going to support. You've been doing a lot of good stuff out there, so whenever I can support, I definitely want to be there for you.
Yes, you too, though. I love what you're doing. And thank you for always supporting me and everything that I've had going on. I just want to put that out there. I've said before. Whether it's whatever the comedy, the acting, what else I got?
Yes.
Hosting sometime, being a parent, or even even me trying to figure out over the last 2 years, what do I want to do? Do I want to do insurance? You supported me there. Do I want to do comedy? Do I want to be a teacher? You know, that I went to school for, got my degree in. But thank you, because you made that difference. And I always talk about people that are change makers in our community. And that's you. And you are a good supporter of everybody, not even just me, but your heart is golden. And I told you the other day, I'm like, I appreciate you, because a lot of times when you're an artist or whatever it is that you do, it's hard for people to support you and come out and believe in something that you believe in.
Right.
So like my fashion show the other day, you know, my fashion show the other day was those proceeds or whatever, our time, even our time, it don't have to just be money, but our time went back to giving back to the homeless veterans.
Yes.
And I supported somebody else's vision and what they saw going forward, because they were a veteran of the United States. So giving back of my time, even if I'm not a runway model. I'm not a runway model. I am.
But you were doing your thing. You was holding it down. You did a good job.
I was holding it down.
Yes, indeed.
5'2". This ain't really. Even when I do my play, I don't even do that. I don't even do runway. But I love the cause, and I love the fact that they brought me on Praise 1400 to promote their show. For somebody, think about myself. To be a part of promoting their show, to be a part of anything, I don't take time for granted, because time is just like money. You know, you have other things that you could be doing, but your time, God blesses us with giving back of our time, even if it's our time or monetary reasons too. But God always has made a way for me and my children. But I thank you for your time. When I bring that up, because you don't have to do the things that you do, but you do, and so your time is very much appreciated by myself and everybody, because I know this about you. Everybody,
you're so
support, and that your heart is 100% all the time in everything that you do. I thank you. I do. And I appreciate you, and I do. And so I'm glad to have you on Simplicity Podcast tonight. This show is doing great. Let me tell you, I'm on Spotify. I'm on Apple Download. I'm on some other sites right now.
And congratulations. You're really doing your thing. I know you talked about it a while. You want to get out there and start doing it. And I'm just proud that you go out there and do whatever you want to do. Fearless. The fearless sister. You know, what's next? Okay.
It's so exciting because Anchor FM is who this broadcast is through. And they're reaching out through Spotify, through Apple, through other networks, just like YouTube. You know, when YouTube started everything, and YouTube is still free right now too, because I always promote everybody that is in comedy or entertainment stuff that I do. I'm like, showcase your shows, your talent, and all that stuff through YouTube, because right now it's free on YouTube. Anchor FM is free. And but I do, hey, if I got enough people that have been following me, it's been growing, I get paid off of ratings too, you know. Okay. So I feel like we all have a responsibility in our lives to give back to our loved ones, our community. For me, I have been having so much feedback that has been great. I've had two networks, and you are my fourth episode, because I didn't record last week because I had the flu.
Right.
I wanted to so bad, but I sounded terrible and I was so weak and so sick, but I couldn't do it last week because I wanted to talk about social media and using social media as a platform for our businesses and growing, and not using social media for BS, pretty much in a nutshell. You know, if you're putting something out there with social media, let it be something that we're growing from and not foolishness. But if you watch your social media for foolishness, that's cool for you. That's just not cool for me.
The moment you put that foolishness out there, it always won't come back. It doesn't disappear. It's always going to be there. So remember that.
And that's what I say. Whatever we put out there for the world, they're going to jump on it. And that's what people propose and present you to be. Even for myself, you know, I have people that follow me on certain things that say dumb stuff all the time. I'm about business. I'm not about the foolishness in my inbox, trying to date and all that. That's not me at all. So anybody that get to know me straight up know that I ain't even about all of that, that foolishness. But I get that a lot, Mark, in my inboxes, in my DM, that people come at me on another level that I'm just trying to be about business, you know. But that's going to happen. And I weed all of that out, because I'm really about what I'm about is at this point at 45 years old. Now, if you called me in my 20s, you would have called me a dumb stuff. This age, I'm like, look, I got grown people that's your age or whatever, and I'm not about the foolishness. But
you know,
Keisha.
Well, Keisha, I was going to say that may be an episode you need to hit on, talking about what women have to deal with in their industries. Because we've had a number of conversations that you can't just go out and do business like you want to do business. You have to deal with a lot of other foolishness on top of it. And sometimes as a man, I don't realize all the stuff you have to deal with. For me, I go out, do my job, do what I have to do, and I agree about my business. And there's a lot of other hurdles that a lot of times women have to deal with they shouldn't have to deal with. But
all the time.
Yeah, they have to make this extra struggle.
Yeah, it is the extra struggle. And it's almost like it's a slap in the face to me. But I'm a tough girl. I'm from D.C.,
Yes.
It's unfortunate that I think about my daughters. My daughters are gorgeous. You hear me? My daughters are beautiful girls.
They take after their mother. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's like when I think about my girls, and I think about the stuff that they will have to. But my girls are tough. They tougher than mom. But when I think about certain things with them, I'm like, you know, why does that have to get in the way outside of who you are as an individual? But it happens. So it's happening. Right. It's been presented to me for a reason. It's coming my way for a reason. But it's something I'm going to address. And it's something I'm going to break the barriers on. Just like any other woman that's had to do that. And I ain't the first one. But it's just unfortunate that it happens. And it's our reality. You know, it's my reality.
That is true.
Yeah. But in a nutshell, though, I love what you're doing. And you said you've been doing this 11 years, right?
Yes.
Right. So you definitely are. What I do with Simplicity Podcast is I'm about change makers that's in our community. I'm not doing my podcast based on anything that's about twerking. Because if you twerking, that's your thing. But I'm definitely doing my podcast. I am booked out right now up until probably June. And wow. And you are my third or fourth episode, because I was supposed to do one last week, but I was at the flu. And I'm still not 100%, you know, sounding 100% yet, but I'm getting there. But I'm excited. And I had so many people that's been reaching out, and the episode has just been growing. And not so much my Facebook followers or Instagram, but I have outside followers that are following, that is following me through the world. It ain't even just local. I have people from Australia, Cuba.
Really?
Like that's the people that I want to reach right there. That is really giving me feedback through Anchor FM and through Spotify. And so I'm excited about it, but I have everyday people that have a story and that have something that where God is blessing them, and businesses. You know, I have some about celebrities like yourself. You're a celebrity that's going to be coming on the show. But my podcast, the Simplicity Podcast, it has been created with you in mind, yourself. It's about manifesting your dreams and creating your lane and loving yourself. As I always say, it's the most simplistic thing that you can do. My mission in this journey of life, only you can fulfill your dreams. So nobody can be who you are, and nobody is assigned to do what you can do. So you being on this show tonight was just absolutely amazing, and I thank you for your time. I want my followers and my listeners that will hear this podcast tonight and going forward on Anchor FM and on Spotify and on Apple Download and on all the other major radio stations that are hearing this right now, where can they follow you? Where can they sign up to make these good, great changes and good changes in their life? Where can they follow you?
They can reach me out at my email. You can always email me at Mark with a K, M-A-R-K underscore. Last name is Dyson, D-Y-S-O-N, at us.aflac.com.
Okay. And one more time. Give it to him again.
Mark, M-A-R-K underscore, D-Y-S-O-N, at us.aflac.com.
Okay. Now, if you have somebody that can't reach you through the internet, because I may have some older people that's, I don't want to say our age or older, but
right,
they can reach you that way. What's another way that they can reach you?
They always can reach out by phone. Give me a call. Send me a text message at 443-742-6488.
All right, you want to give it to them one more time?
443-742-6488.
Right. Anything else that you want to share tonight?
Just want to stop and thank you, and many blessings to you and what you're doing. Much success. I'm sure you'll be very successful at it, because you tackle everything head on. So congratulations.
I appreciate
and thank
that.
You.
And thank you. Welcome. Because you brought some great information to us tonight about cancer care and life insurance. Also the GoFundMe. The GoFundMe going forward.
That'll be plan C, not plan A. Yes.
Plan C?
Yeah, plan C. After my health insurance, our supplemental benefits, after my savings I put away. Okay, now maybe I need to do a GoFundMe.
I hate to laugh because it's not funny. But right. When GoFundMe started coming about, it was because, you know, social media became a really big platform for everything that we do in our lives, you know. And yes. I just want everybody to use, because I'm still going to do my episode on social media, because there is social media influencers, there's social media folks that is for stuff like that, GoFundMe. And it's people that honestly need the help, and there's some people that take advantage of certain things, like anything else.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and and I hate to laugh about that because it's not funny. But the third thing is, I absolutely want everybody to listen to what you're saying tonight, because in our community, we definitely need to plan better.
Yes.
And we need to educate ourselves as well. So that's why I'm glad that you're on the show and folks will be able to follow you and even reach out to you through phone or by the website, and better prepare ourselves going forward, because I've seen it, and not only that, I've experienced it. I've experienced it with my loved ones, where even we have this in place or we don't, but going forward, that's something that I've had to have in place for my family, for owning my small property and owning whatever, not even so much my car, because my kids, they can turn my car in if I go. If I just don't have it, but they gotta have somewhere to live.
That's true.
So I want to be sure that my property and whatever is covered, and not only that, but you're right, things happen unexpectedly, and we have to make sure that we have the additional healthcare coverage that we need. So thank you so very much. So very much. Nothing else? You good?
We are good. I appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you too. And we'll be in touch soon though. And I appreciate your time tonight on Simplicity Podcast. And we'll be in touch soon.
Yes. Good night.
All right. Good night. All right. Bye-bye.